Let's go ahead and open up our Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, raise your hand. We'll get one over to you. And let's open up our Bibles to the book of 1 John. As we continue on through 1 John tonight, looking at chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. And we'll be looking at walking in love. Why don't we just read through it together, and then we'll go back and look at it more intimately. But let's read it together. Notice it says this: Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment, which you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. And again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already dawning. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. And he who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Father, I just thank you for tonight. And I thank you, Lord, as we look at world events and what your word says is going to happen as we watch it unfolding before our very eyes. I thank you that you've warned us. And I thank you that you've told us so that we need not be uninformed or afraid or lacking understanding. But Lord, at the same time, I thank you for your faithfulness to all who will heed your message and all who will turn to your Son. And Lord, we do pray for the nation of Israel that you would use this to break them of their hardened, stubborn hearts, that you would open their eyes to the truth of Jesus Christ and draw them to you. And you would use this event to further break their hearts for the last day's outpouring of your Spirit, as you have promised you would do. But God, we also lift up the Arab peoples around them, knowing that you love them and that you died for them as well. God, we pray you would use this conflict to open their eyes, that they might see the light of your love, that they might see the plan that you have for their life, the fact that you love them, Lord, and that you died for them, and that all these things that are happening have been prophesied, and that they too have a place in the kingdom if they will only receive your Son. And so, Lord, again, we do pray, as your word tells us too, for the peace of Jerusalem and for your guard over the nation. And Lord, we just again pray that you would continue to keep our hearts ready for your return. As we see these things happening, Lord, you told us to be looking up. We don't know what's going to be the springboard that's going to kick this thing into gear. But at the same time, Lord, I thank you that you've shown us so that we can have our hearts ready and not be caught off guard. And Lord, tonight, as we see a world that is so torn with war, so torn with hatred, even in the Middle East, Lord, the hatred between the Jews and the Arab peoples, the hatred, Lord, between all the different peoples around the globe, or we could speak of all the different nationalities and races and all the things that are happening around the globe. Lord, your word said that we as believers must not be that way, but we must be men and women of love. And I pray tonight that, Lord, you would teach us how to be more men and women of love, that we would receive the love that you have for us tonight, and that we would be filled with your love, that we might give it to each other. And I pray for a sweet night of fellowship, in love with you and in love with each other, that we would love one another. Lord, your word says that it's by our love one for another that people know we are your followers. And so help us to be men and women of love and do that work in our hearts through your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Walking in love. Earlier, if you remember, we saw John talking about walking in light, the light of God. Now tonight we see John getting into walking in the love of God. And again, even as he gave us a litmus test for walking in the light, John's going to give us a litmus test for walking in love. And he's going to challenge us as to whether or not we are walking in love. Notice what he says. And again, just to give us a precursor, he says, if we hate one another, we're not walking in love. But if we are forgiving and loving each other, we are. Now, it's interesting. Many people today are killing each other in the name of what? Their God. And yet the Bible says, if we hate our brother, what does that prove? We're not walking in love, which means we're not truly walking in God. We've been deceived. You know, a lot of people try to, I think, sometimes take up for church history. Never try to take up for church history. It's very ugly. I know that when we were over in Israel, the Crusades is a very sensitive issue. And, you know, the Jewish people see the church and the Arab peoples as well. Oftentimes, those from the Middle East see the church as simply a persecutor, one that came in to destroy and to wreak havoc. And that happened back during the Crusades, for those of you that know church history. And yet they went in the name of God, killing. The Bible says they didn't know God. And that may be the history of part of what they call the ancient church, but it wasn't Jesus' true church, because the true church and the true believer and anyone who truly knows God or loves God would never kill anyone in the name of God. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, one day they will kill you thinking they do God a service. And yet the Bible says this, no one has greater love than to lay down his life for another. That's the way we show love, is dying in place of another, not killing another for the sake of the name of God. So it's interesting, in light of even what we've been talking about tonight, when we look at the ugly history of some of the church, as well as what's going on in the Middle East, a lot of people have been deceived over the centuries that loving God means to kill others, not according to the scriptures. The Bible says loving God means that you die to yourself for the sake of others. As a matter of fact, you would lay down your life so that others might be able to live. And so, again, John makes love and hate a black and white issue tonight, which very quickly does away with all of our excuses and makes us face the truth head on. He says, look, if you hate your brother, you're not walking in love. You're deceived. If you love your brother and all your brothers, that is fellow man, now you're walking in love. And so that's the litmus test. If there's an issue in the heart of hatred towards someone, we know that we're not walking in love. So again, I love John because John makes things black and white. And again, I say John, it's really the Lord and the Holy Spirit speaking through John, but it's a good test for us tonight, even before we get into it. Right now, do you harbor hatred in your heart for any people group, any person? If you do, the Bible says you're not walking in love. Well, you say, but wait a minute, Mark, I can't help it. They hurt me really bad and I've got this and I've got that. You've got to let it go. You've got to go to the Lord and say, God, you've got to touch me in this area. You've got to free me. And then what I encourage people to do is begin to pray for them. Begin to lift them up to the Lord. You know, I've had a lot of people hurt me over the years, and I'm sure you have as well. And I've had people, even since being in the ministry, that have maliciously attacked and tried to hurt me. But what's exciting to me is, and I was thinking about it tonight because he was talking about hating your brother, there isn't a person in the world right now that I hate. Now, that doesn't mean that I haven't, like everyone else, struggled with hatred. You know, I don't want to give you a picture of a flawless, you know, guy that's never struggled. But there's nobody I look back on that has really cut my feet out from under me, and there's been some that have done that. I have no feelings of bitterness or anger at all toward them. Now, why is that? Is that because I'm such a good guy? No, I am a sinner. Why is that? Because I take it to the Lord and say, God, you've got to deal with this. And then what I do is I pray for those people. And as you begin to pray for someone that has hurt you greatly, you know what happens? God begins to change your heart for them. And now rather than, ooh, they did this to me, it's like, Lord, have mercy on them. Now, sometimes the prayers may start out a little bit rougher. Lord, they should be paid in return for what they did to me, right? And then over time, it's, well, maybe, okay, maybe they shouldn't. I mean, we're not really supposed to have revenge, but Lord, just kind of make them pay a little. Well, Lord, just kind of let them know they did wrong. At least let them know they did wrong, Lord. And then later on, it's kind of like, well, Lord, they don't really have to know they did wrong unless that's an issue with you they need to settle. And then, well, Lord, you know what? God, I'm a sinner. And they're sinners as well. Have mercy on them and have mercy on me. And it's a process that happens over time. God uses it to change our heart. And I've heard people say before, I just can't forgive them. Well, you know what? In your own strength, you're right. You can't. But in the strength of the Lord, you can forgive them. And so by God's grace and by God's mercy, you can. And so, again, you just ask the Lord to do that, and the Lord will. Now, again, as we said earlier, the Bible is a spiritual mirror. We've talked about that in the past. And it shows us the unfiltered truth about ourselves, whether we like it or not. And John, again, as we go in this, he talks about, all right, if you hate your brother, if you've got someone that you hate, you're not walking in love. And you're not walking in a true relationship with God. We might not like to hear that. We might say, you know what, I am too walking with God. I have a zeal for God. Well, wait a minute. Do you hate your brother? Well, there's a few I don't like. Well, then you're not walking in love. And you need to get it right with the Lord. Again, it's this spiritual mirror. It's like when you hold it up and you see all the blemishes. And the Word of God just kind of shows it, you know, rather than pretend it's not there and start putting makeup on and becoming hypocritical, just tell the Lord, God, I hate my brother and I don't want to. I need you to do a work in my heart. You got to change me. God knows it anyway. I think sometimes we're afraid if we go to the Lord and tell him the truth about ourselves that somebody's going, oh, no, really? Go on. You know, like God's getting gossip, you know? So when did this happen? Well, who else was involved, you know? We go to God and say, God, you know what? I've got hatred in my heart. God says, I know. Just confess it to me and let's work on it. I'll remove it by my spirit and by my grace. And God does it. He removes it. And so again, it's spiritually healthy to see our faults, even though we don't like it. The Word of God is a spiritual mirror and it shows me my sinfulness. It shows me my wicked heart. But yet by seeing it, I can go to the Lord and say, God, cleanse me. And then God does the rest. Now, among the commandments of Scripture, love is considered the highest. Supreme. Love is supreme. And why is love supreme? Because the Bible says that not only is God light, but the Bible also says what? God is love. And if God is love, that means the more we are like God and the closer we get to God, what should emanate from our very nature and our very being? Love. And so that's the ultimate that we could become is love, because God is love. 1 John 4:16 says this, God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. So very clearly, 1 Peter 4:8 says, and above all things have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Notice love covers sins. 1 Corinthians 13:13, and now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is what? Is love. So the greatest thing we can attain to as a believer is to love one another. So that should be the goal of every Christian. Now, sometimes love calls for gentleness, and sometimes love calls for firm action and even firm words. You look at Jesus with the woman at the well. He was very gentle. She was in sin. She was in opposition to God. He was very gentle with her. Very different approach when he came to the Pharisees. He was very firm. He rebuked them very strongly and said they needed to repent. Yet he was still the same God of love, was he not? It's amazing when you think about love, you have in your mind, well, what is true love? Sometimes we think love is always soft and that love never has any strength. That is wrong. Love has great strength when strength is needed to show love. When you have people with tables set up in the temple and they're stealing from the people of God, the only message they will receive is their tables being turned over and being run out with a whip. But that's the greatest level of love you can get them, because now they realize I've done something so bad that someone ran me out of the temple. I guess I need to look at my life a little bit. And so we see love incarnate in Jesus Christ, turning over tables, slapping a whip. Now again, he didn't hurt anyone, but he showed a strength to the discipline that was needed for those who wouldn't listen. And so don't think that just because we talk about being loving that there's not a strength to love. Sometimes love has to be, as they say, tough. You know, I think of certain people that are bound up in drugs and alcohol. You know, you want to help them and you want to maybe get them a place and help them with some money or whatever. But if you help them with money and get them a place and get on their feet and they're really bound up, all they're going to do is take advantage of you, take all that money and do more drugs and alcohol. No, it may be they need to be put in a rehab place. You know, that's a lot harder, that's a lot tougher. They may find themselves getting up at 5 o'clock every morning and digging ditches and having Bible studies all through the day, whatever. That's what's needed. There's a tougher love that's needed. So don't be afraid when the situation calls for it to bring tough love. Here's the bottom line. Whatever it takes to bring someone around to the truth, as long as it's done in love, that's what needs to be done. And again, true love has two different sides, a soft side and a firm side. Again, loving each other doesn't mean that we don't sometimes have disagreements as well, and even arguments, but our goal is to work through them and to forgive one another on the other side. Now, we also need to recognize there are times when we simply can't work things out, no matter how badly we want to. Some of you right now maybe have enemies, and maybe you've even dealt with it. Maybe you don't hate them anymore. Maybe you never hated them. Maybe it was just a temporary struggle, but it was never really resolved. But you went to them and tried to resolve it. Now, let me say this. Here's what the Bible says to do. If you've got a brother or a sister or anyone that you have something wrong with, the Bible says go to them and try to resolve it. But the problem is they don't always want resolution. And if they don't want resolution, you can't make them resolve it. So are you in sin before God because they don't resolve? Not at all. God simply asks you to go do your part, and then if it's resolved, it's resolved. And if not, there's nothing else you can do. That you may go to them and say, will you please forgive me? And they say, no. Well, all right, I wanted to ask. At that point, you're clean with God. You're clean. That's all you can do. It says in Romans 12:8, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Notice, as much as depends on you. You can't make everyone live peaceably with you, but you can do what God asks you to do. Well, verse 7 here, notice he starts out, he says, brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Now, what does it mean, or what does John mean by the commandment you had from the beginning? It appears he's referring to the commandment to love one another in a deeper way since Jesus has come. And why do we say that? Well, John makes reference to himself when he writes down what the Lord said in John chapter 13, verse 34. Notice what Jesus said. He said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And notice he says a new commandment. Again, he uses the same language that John uses here in 1 John, this new commandment. Love one another. That's what it's all about. 2 John 5 says this, And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we had from the beginning, what? That we love one another. And so you see this recurring theme in John when he writes, love one another, love one another. Tradition tells us that the aged apostle John, in bidding farewell to his congregation, simply admonished them to love one another. But we talked about that before. They bring him in as an old man, and they're, wow, the apostle John's here tonight. We're going to have a great message. And John would just get up there and say, love one another. Just love each other. And what did Jesus say? If we love one another, we fulfilled the entire law. If we just love each other. And so love is our goal. Love is paramount. And it's interesting, there's an ancient account that goes on, again, tradition anyway, talking about John, saying that when he did that, the people at one point said, but we want something new, John. Give us something new. You know, they're wanting, you're the apostle. Come on, you get revelations from God. Give us a new commandment, they said. And according to the tradition, John replied, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, and again, writing to them, but an old commandment which ye have had from the beginning, that we should love one another. And he would just repeat the same thing that he said. There is no new commandment. Love one another. I want to walk with God. How do I do that? Love one another. Now, you have to receive Jesus Christ first, obviously, to be in Christ, but then you love one another after that. So the bottom line is, we don't need any new commandments. We simply need to obey the old ones. And the greatest of these is love. So he says, I have no new commandment. That almost seems contradictory, but notice he says in verse 8, again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Referring here to the true light already shining, but also I believe saying, yes, we have the old commandment of love, but it's new on a regular basis. It's new in our lives. Love should be new on a regular basis. The commandment's not new, but the new command to love each other. Love each other. And I believe that's what the Holy Spirit would say to us tonight. Here's our command. Love each other. Love one another. Make an effort to love one another. And do what it takes to love one another. Dying to yourself for others' sake. And so John says first, he's giving them no new commandment concerning love. And then again, he says here, he's giving them a new commandment. And it's God's love is always fresh and new in our hearts. And also, this is exciting to me because John is saying, notice this, that the darkness is already starting to fade and the dawn of God's light is already starting to come. And that happened when Jesus Christ came. Remember, you had all the darkness. Jesus Christ was the light coming into the world. That was the dawning of the new light. Now, how long it'll be before that light reaches its full and the Lord returns in the second coming, we don't know. But again, the light is already shining. The darkness is already starting to fade. And this is exciting to me because if the light was already starting to shine in John's day and the darkness was already starting to fade, then how much closer are we now? Now, we know there's a lot of darkness and there's going to be more darkness until the Lord returns, but we also know that the light is going to shine brighter. You know, the darker it is, the more a light shines. You ever notice that? You ever been out somewhere and maybe it's pitch dark and you light a candle? Man, I mean, it lights up like it seems like it lights everything up like you can't believe. Because the darker it is, the more the light draws attention. And that means in these last days, the darker it gets around us, you guys are going to draw a lot more attention. People are going to see you and they're going to look to you. And they're going to see God's love and God's light shining in you. It's interesting. One commentator said that it was a picture of a parade float passing by with another one right on its heels. It's as if John's saying, okay, I've seen the darkness now, and here comes the light, you know, and you're watching it. So the darkness isn't completely gone. It bleeds over. The light's beginning to come in, and the light of Jesus Christ will continue to dawn until Jesus Christ returns. Now, don't mistake that with more darkness in the world, because it'll be darker in the world. But the Lord will be revealing himself more through his light and through his word. Speaking of Jesus in Luke 1:78, it says this, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring on high has visited us. The Lord being that day spring. It means the springing of the day when Jesus came, the day of hope and light began to dawn. So this light here, interesting, speaks of a true light, which means a genuine light all the way to the core. It's speaking of the Lord being light, genuine all the way to the core, no false light like Satan has when he's trying to deceive. And so he says this true light, this genuine light down to the core is already shining, and it's in Jesus Christ. He says, he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. Now here's the statement that really sums up whether we're walking in love or not. Do we hate our brother? Now, you might think, well, yeah, that means our Christian brother. No. This is talking about mankind. Is there any people group you hate? Is there any person you hate? Is there any social strata that you hate? Now, you may not like the way certain people act. You know, if you get around very wealthy people that kind of act snobbish or something, you know, certainly there are people that have an attitude that are not as nice and as others, but we're still to love them. And there's a love that transcends personality. There's a love that transcends. It's down to the heart. It's something God does in our heart to them. And so John says, you know what? If you love your brother, you have to abide in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling. He says, you're in darkness until now. If you hate your brother and you're in light, if you love your brother. Again, John confronts them with the fact that what they say means nothing if it's not what they do. And John here states that you can't be in the light, that is in Jesus Christ, who is the light, and be hating your brother at the same time. As a matter of fact, I would say that a sign that you're not in the light is the fact that you hate your brother. Because God is light and God is love. The wording here means as a habit or a lifestyle, again, which John uses a lot. What he's saying is it doesn't mean that we won't have moments where maybe we, you know, get mad, somebody cuts you off in traffic or something, you know, that you're waiting on the parking space, you know. And it's amazing what we get upset about, isn't it? You're driving around the mall and there's a parking place and right toward the front. Wow, some guy's backing up. And so you're sitting there and you know the scene. You're on one end, somebody pulls around the corner on the other end. He knows you were there first. You know you were there first, but the guy backs your way, which means you can't get around to race in and in love beat him to the spot. So he gets it. What happens at that moment? Most of all of us, human natures, we're frustrated. You know, and maybe some of you are going, yeah, hey, buddy, you know, this kind of thing or whatever. Hopefully you've never done that, but, you know, maybe. The bottom line is what do we do after that? Are we convicted? Well, that's a stumble. All right, we blew it there. That was a mistake. You know? But what do we do afterwards? He's not saying an occasional stumble. He's talking about as a lifestyle. If we're hating people as a lifestyle is what he's saying that shows that we're not walking in the light, that we're not walking in love, and that we're hating our brother. Now, there are a couple of things to consider here. If we hate someone and have never been in the light, we need to repent and be saved. But if we hate someone and have been saved, we need to repent and be restored. You see the difference? So one leads to salvation. One just needs to restoration. And how do we know if we're loving or hating our brother or our fellow man? We need to ask ourselves a few questions. And that is, are we hating them? And we might even have to probe more and say, what are some ways to find that out? Well, how do we talk about people when they're not around? Are the conversations we have in private about people something we wouldn't mind them hearing? Oh, that's convicting. Is it not? Because we've all done that. We've all said things, oh, well, I wouldn't want them to hear I said that. And maybe you've even heard somebody say to you, well, I want to tell you something, but you can't tell them, right? Now, I think there are legitimate times when you're protecting someone in some godly situations. But I think we need to be real careful about what we say behind closed doors. Because although they may not hear it, the Lord hears it. And so we need to be loving our brother. And I'm not saying that we take up for someone if they're doing wrong, but we need to just really be careful what we're saying. You know, we call wrong wrong, we call right right. But we need to be careful about how we're speaking about our fellow man. How are we treating others when they are around? How do we talk about them when they're not around? How do we treat them when they are? Do we treat them with love? Do we have different attitudes toward those of different nationalities, different skin color, different income? These are all litmus tests. These are questions we need to ask ourselves. Do I act strange or feel funny around certain people groups? If you do, you're not walking in love. Now, it may be something you feel uncomfortable because of a cultural thing. I mean, you travel in missions or go around the world, you get with other cultures and you don't know what to do. That's nothing wrong in feeling awkward there. You're like, I don't know what to do. You just feel awkward, right? There's nothing wrong in that. I'm talking about where you get around them and you just start thinking, I don't know that I like them that much. And I don't think I like the way to do this. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You need to back up and say, wait a minute, God, am I loving the world the way you love the world? Or am I allowing the enemy to cause my heart to set up attitudes? Something we need to challenge ourselves on. We need to be honest about it. He says, hey, if you say you're in the light, you can say whatever you want. If you say you're in the light and you hate your brother, you're in darkness until now. The bottom line is John lays it out there. He says, if we say we're walking in light and we're hating our brother, we're liars. We're not telling the truth. We're deceived. And the sooner we recognize it by looking in the mirror of God's word, the sooner we can deal with it and take it to the Lord. Again, heart surgery John's doing here. Notice he says in verse 10, he who loves his brother abides in the light. That is, stays in. The word abides means stays in the light. And there's no cause for stumbling in him. You know, if you're in the light, you can see where you're going. You're not going to stumble because now you have vision. You can see where to go. And notice he says, here's how we love each other, by abiding in the light. That's how we love each other. Jesus is the light. Hence, if we abide or stay in Jesus, stay in the light, we'll naturally love one another. We're going to. You know, when you've got your walk and you're in the word and you're in prayer, even that person that might irritate you, you have more patience with them. Have you noticed that? All of us have different personalities, and we run into people, even in the body of Christ, that we just, there's just kind of this rubbing. And sometimes, you know, I'll watch the body and you see the flock and they're kind of rubbing with each other. And there's this kind of rubbing that goes on that's there. And that's human nature. We have different personalities. Some of you like to move quick. Some of you like to just take your time, man. What's the rush? Well, you put a person who wants to move quick with someone who says, hey, manana, you know, they want to take their time. These two are together going, whoo. The fast guy's going, why would he do something? The slow guy's going, why? This guy's so uptight, man. Lighten up. And especially on the mission field, that, you know, you see that kind of thing. Personalities come together and they just kind of bang into each other, these personality conflicts that they have. We need to be walking in the light. And you know what? When you're walking in the light, you can have grace for your brother. So what? Let him, you know, that's fine. You do your thing. Let him do his. And God begins to cultivate a new love and a love in the heart that stays there. So as naturally as a branch connected to the vine will produce fruit, even as Jesus talked about in John 15, we will produce love if we abide in the light. And so that's how it works. The word love here is the word agape. It means to put others above yourself. That's challenging. Do we put others above ourselves? It's easy to say, harder to do. And yet that's true love. Remember, no man loves more than this than to lay down his life for his friend. That's putting others before yourself. And so the word here he uses, you know, is to love is that kind of love. It's that agape love, loving our brother above ourselves. And next, we as Christians are exhorted to make our goal not only to keep from stumbling ourselves as we walk in the light, but also to keep from stumbling our brother and our sister in the Lord. That's what it's talking about. This wording here doesn't mean that we just keep from stumbling. It means that I don't do anything that would stumble you, or that you don't do anything that would stumble someone else. There's a mutual work there together. It's what true agape is all about. You can jot this down if you want for later, but Romans 14, verses 13 through 15 addresses this, talking about dying to ourselves for the sake of others. Paul talking about those who were had different viewpoints in the body of Christ. He says, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way. I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you're no longer walking in love. In other words, remember there was something that were eating certain foods that they didn't think were okay. You can't eat that food, especially if they were Jewish. They couldn't eat ham, you know, and if somebody was eating it, they might be offended. He said, look, if you're eating with a Jewish brother, don't eat a ham sandwich in front of them. Just put it away till later. If there's somebody else that's offended by something, whatever the offense might be, don't do it while they're around. He says, because you're not walking in love, you need to lay yourself down for their sake. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. And so don't put your desires above what other people need. He says here again, the word stumbling, it means there's no cause for stumbling, as we said, in ourselves or in others. So it covers both bases. And notice it says, lastly here in verse 11, he says, but he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. He thinks he can see, but if he's hating his brother, he's truly blind. Now, in contrast to those who hate each other, notice they're in darkness and they're blind. It's, of course, speaking spiritually. Again, Jesus called the Pharisees the blind leading the blind because they were spiritually blind, and the blindness was only worsened by their hatred for him. But hatred is an emotion that blinds us. You ever seen people that get so angry they do just really dumb things because they're mad? You know, I think about guys in high school, and they're mad at their girlfriend, right? And maybe it's motivated by love, but it turns to hatred because there's somebody they hate. And what do? They take their hand. Now, let's talk about this scientifically for a minute. This is made out of flesh that is terrible and cuttable. It's got bones in it that are breakable. And if it was to hit any object that was harder than it with any force, good chance bones will break, skin will cut. And you wouldn't just make a logical decision to do something with this right here that would do that. And what happens when hatred takes place? This thing goes into a fist and begins to do just that, either through a wall or slamming something or glass or whatever. I mean, I'm sure you guys have seen that. Somebody going to the hospital getting stitches in their hand because they got angry. They did something foolish. How many people do things that are just foolish? A fit of rage, whatever it might be. You know, you break something or you do whatever. You realize this is something you wouldn't normally logically do. Why? Because anger and hatred can cause blindness. You can't see straight. And it doesn't matter what happens. You just have to get that anger out. And so if you've seen somebody controlled by hatred, you know what I mean when I say that. They'll stop at nothing to vent their anger no matter how foolish they act, which is, by the way, often why we see so many senseless crimes. And people that are angry, it's kind of interesting in light of that. I read a funny article. This was found in the classifieds. It said, wedding dress for sale, never worn, will trade for a .38 caliber pistol. Now, probably not the best motives at heart. And yet it shows you what anger and hatred can do. You do things that you know are wrong, you know, and I'm sure that was probably just to make a statement. I'm not saying she really is going to kill anybody, but when we walk in darkness, we become blinded like fish in caves. You ever been in a cave and seen the fish? I don't know if they have those. What is the one up here under the sea, or what is the, not under the sea. What is it? Lost Sea. Thank you. I've never been to it, so But I think they have blind fish in there, don't they? I know that I went to a particular cave one time, I think in Virginia, and they have these fish in there, and they're in the darkness so much, they're blind. They can't see straight. Well, that's like what happens. As we begin to just walk in darkness, we become blinded. And so as we walk in darkness, we can't see the light. And so therefore, we can't be in the light, and we're not in God's love, and now we're just operating out of human emotion and out of anger. And so we no longer have the ability to recognize the light, even if it's right before our eyes. Well, what I would leave us with tonight is this question. Here's what I want to challenge us with. Are we walking in love? Are we truly walking in love? How can we know? Well, if we have hatred for our fellow man, or anyone for that matter, and we seek to put ourselves before others, we're not walking in love. Now, we've all stumbled in that before, so it's not a condemnation, it's a wake-up call. And I think we need to challenge ourselves. God, am I walking in love? I want to walk in love. I want to love my brother. I want to love my sister. I want to even love those who hate me. What did Jesus say? He said, love your enemies. Even those who hate you, he said, love them. And it's by that love that they're won over to Christ. It's like, what's wrong with you? Why don't you hate me as much as I hate you? Because Jesus has put love in my heart. And he will forgive you as well and put love in your heart if you'll just ask him to be your Lord and your Savior. See, that's what love is about. That's what it is to walk in love. We may even have enemies, but we don't hate them. What I mean by that is people that don't like us. You may have people that don't like you, but you shouldn't hate them. If you have people right now that don't like you and you've done everything you can to make it right, you're okay. There's nothing you can do about that. You're clean with God. As long as you've done all that you can do, you're clean. But what you need to guard your heart from is to make sure that you don't harbor bitterness and that you don't harbor anger. Wives, I want to especially warn you against this when it comes to your husbands. I don't think husbands are quite as bad at this. And I think the reason might be, and I've just noticed this over the years, it might be because women are more emotional than men. But I have noticed, certainly we as husbands get upset. When somebody attacks our wife, we get upset. It's very natural because we love each other. But I've noticed it seems to be more so on the side of women that if somebody attacks their husband, they not only get upset, they harbor it oftentimes. And they sit on it and they chew on it. And it becomes this thing that eats them up in bitterness. Don't let that happen. And I speak to all of us, men and women. I'm just saying over the years, I've seen it, I think, a little bit more on the women's side. And I think probably because women are a little bit more emotional. And I think emotions has something to do with that is an emotion, hatred and anger. It's just something that's there. But guard your heart, because here's the bad thing about it is, if you're harboring that bitterness and that hatred, even the person that you might think is your enemy, typically they move on. You're the one that's being eaten up and it destroys your life. And so whether or not you think, I'm never going to forgive them. Listen, when we have that attitude, we're really harming ourselves. We're not harming them. It's ourselves we're harming because we're destroying ourselves in the bitterness and in the anger and the hatred. The Bible says it's destructive. We need to deal with it. Secondly, if we realize tonight we're not walking in love, how can we start? Well, although God's love is a work of the Spirit in our lives, we can play an active role in choosing to love one another. Here's where we need to understand this. Biblical love is a choice. There may be someone you don't like that much, but you can choose to love them. It doesn't even mean they have to be a hangout buddy. It just means you can be kind. You can say hello. You can demonstrate active love. As a matter of fact, I challenge you to pick someone that maybe you struggle with and try to be kind to them so that God might grow you and mature you in that area. Because you'll find a victory in that area that's very freeing. And so we have to choose to love the Lord. God does it by His Spirit, but we choose. And so tonight I want to challenge us to choose to love one another. And in so doing, we will walk in God's light and we will walk in God's love. And how do we choose to love one another? Well, we give ourselves away. Here's how love works. You've got to enact it. You've got to go up to someone and love them. You've got to reach out to them. You've got to meet a need. You've got to share a prayer. You've got to show them some measure of kindness. That's how you love someone. Love is action. It's not just in your heart. You say, oh, I love them. No, it's action. You can say you love somebody all day long. But if you don't show them, you know, husbands, if we tell our wives we love them, but we never show them, the message is not going to resonate. There's got to be something that actively shows them that we love them. Well, the same is true in the body of Christ. We've got to show each other that we love each other. And so we have to choose to give ourselves away. And I want to finish with an illustration that I think will make that point. It goes like this. One evening before the Broadway star Mary Martin was about to go on stage in the musical South Pacific, true story, she was handed a note from Oscar Hammerstein written from his deathbed. And it read this way to her. It said, Dear Mary, a bell's not a bell till you ring it. A song is not a song until you sing it. Love in your heart is not put there to stay. Love isn't love until you give it away. That's love. And so tonight, as we finish up, here's going to be my encouragement. You know, we've got like 10 minutes, 11 minutes. I'm going to pray. Get up and love each other. Just, you know, and I want to encourage you to do something else. Find somebody you don't really know You know what our tendency is? Our tendency is to go to all the people we like. I'm that way. Aren't you naturally go to all the people you just kind of feel like they're, you know, they dress the same or look the same or act the same or, you know, he's as dumb as I am. That's what I think. And I go over there, you know. Now, some of you are going, hey, why is Pastor Mark coming to me? No. I mean, silly or whatever. But I mean, listen, but here's what we have to guard ourselves against. We have to make sure that we don't limit our sphere of those that we love. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. It's okay that you've got your special friends. I think that's fine. God gives us close friends. We're supposed to have that. That's nothing wrong in that. Nothing wrong in having people you're closer to than others. That's a blessing of the Lord, okay? We need close friendship and confidants. However, let's get out of our comfort zone a little bit, and we're going to encourage this more as we go through the book of John. Find people you don't know as well and just start talking to them. Love on them. Just say hi and begin to let God expand your heart and expand your borders so that we can grow in love with one another. Let's pray and ask God to do it. Lord, that is our desire, is that we truly would learn not only to walk in light, but to walk in love. And Lord, expand our borders tonight. Father, I just pray in Jesus' name that you would help us to love each other. And as we finish tonight, Lord, that we'd find someone that we maybe don't know that well. Lord, we begin to mingle, begin to talk to them, begin to love them and allow them to have a chance to love on us so that we might become children of the King and we might be a proper representative of what it is, Lord, that you've called us to be and you've called us to do. So Lord, fill us with your love and let your love flow out of us to each other. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.